Well, thank you, Mr. Prince. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Good to be here, and good to be amongst so many brethren for what sounds like it's going to be a really packed weekend, particularly for the ladies. I thought the theme selected was just really a throwdown challenge, you know, facing life with strength and laughter. That's a high bar. The question for us is it realistic? Does it feel achievable? We all go through moments or periods of time or even seasons of life when that can sound really distant, right? I share personally, just in the last couple months, I've lost two good friends in the last 3 months. Been to two funerals. One was 65 years old, working outside. Him and his wife had just bought a new property where they were going to retire. And he dropped dead while he was doing work out in the yard. Another friend suffered away with stage 4 esophageal cancer while in a county jail, died at 52. And so, you know, we all go through things like that, right? We all face tragedy, challenges, trials. And at times it can feel like an assault on the system, right? So we can all relate to that. But this weekend, we're gathered together around a theme, strength and laughter, that is not wishful thinking. It's actually part of God's design plan. And that's what I want to talk about. Strength and laughter are not rewards for an easy life. Let's just say that, okay? They're not rewards for an easy life. They are what God clothes his children with for the life they actually have. And so to begin, I want to go to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, this is going to kind of be our anchor scripture here because I love the way this reads. Different versions put it slightly differently. I'm going to read from the complete Jewish Bible. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 25. This is talking about, you know, a woman of valor. This is talking about a woman who has seen life. This is talking about a woman who has responsibilities and has developed character and is striving. And verse 25, again, complete Jewish Bible says, clothed with strength and dignity, she can laugh at the days to come. So that verse kind of has our theme for this weekend, right? Strength and laughter. Some translations translate laughter as being joyful. The New King James Version, for example, says, she shall rejoice in time to come. And the Hebrew can mean a lot of different things there. But it means that she faces the future with confidence, joy, and yes, even laughter. So why is that? Where does her strength come from? How in the world does this produce laughter? Okay, so we're going to address those questions. I want to leave you with 3 points in this sermonette that demonstrates how. 3 points. First one is that strength forms the base layer. Strength forms the base layer. And I'm kind of building that analogy off of what the proverb itself says. It says she is clothed, or she puts on strength. Right? And in the Bible, to put on clothing is metaphorical for showing your true colors or describing or displaying your true character. So in the New Testament, for example, Ephesians chapter 6, we all know the armor of God, right? These are things that we put on. These are things that we stand for. These are things that represent our calling in the body of Christ. Here, it says she's clothed with strength, which signifies her enduring energy, her ability to get things done. And she's also clothed with dignity or majesty, which is this majesty of her distinctiveness, the way she stands out from just run-of-the-mill or ordinary. So it's a distinctiveness and a strength. And notice also that it says she is clothed with. So clothing, putting on clothing is something you and I do every single day, right? And it's intentional, is the point here. You don't dress automatically or without thinking about it. Well, sometimes we do, and that's when you walk out the door with two different colored socks, or I've walked out the door with actually slacks inside out, believe it or not. That's happened. When you don't do it intentionally, it's kind of evident. But the point here is that she puts on these clothing intentionally every day. It's a conscious choice. So when you think of strength, the strength that this woman has is the base layer. It's the first thing on, and everything else is built over it. Now, what is this strength? Well, strength is not weakness, and strength is not having vulnerability. In other words, strength is not, having a stiff upper lip or putting on a happy face and kind of grinding through on your own willpower. That's not what strength is. Strength is, again, rooted in dignity. That's what the scripture says. It's both a settled sense of who you are and to whom you belong. Now, you and I are children of God. That is our, not only our source of strength, it is our identity. So before we talk about the laughter part, just again, understand that strength is the foundation that makes laughter possible, okay? And the truth is, and what this proverb says, is you can't laugh at the future. You can't kind of scoff at hard things to come if you don't have the right foundation. You need the right foundation. And I want to demonstrate to you that foundation has already been provided. And it's your job, it's my job, to put it on. So let me ask you this. Have you been intentionally putting on other clothing this week, except besides strength? Have you clothed yourself with anxiety or exhaustion or the need to protect yourself or prove yourself? Well, God gives us a different wardrobe. God gives us a different wardrobe, and strength is the base layer. So that's point number one. Strength is the base layer. Point number two is that joy then flows from strength. And for this scripture, and for this point, I'd like you to turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. And the background here while you're turning there is that, this is when the exiles, the refugees that had gone to Babylon in captivity had now returned. They were setting up their towns, their cities, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And they had gathered together to keep the Feast of Trumpets. This was the first day of the seventh month. And Ezra goes up on this platform, and Nehemiah and the Levites are there as well. And Ezra starts reading from the law of God. And it says, all the men and women of the villages and who were gathered together to keep this feast were all there, men and women, and they're listening to the law. And the law, as it's read aloud, convicts them. It cuts them to the heart. They realize, first of all, what the law says about to whom they belong. And they realize how far, far short they've fallen from the holy God's requirements. And so what do? They begin to weep. They begin to weep and mourn. And then Ezra and Nehemiah and all the priests and Levites, they tell the people, don't mourn. This is a high holy day. This is a time to be joyful. And I want you to notice Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 8, or the other way, Nehemiah 8, verse 10. Nehemiah 8, verse 10 says this. He says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, this is something that Ezra and Nehemiah did that was counterintuitive, right? They could have just let the people mourn, but again, this was a feast day. The people had a reason to mourn. They heard what God's law said. And, you know, how often do we let this happen to us? We're leading up to several feast days, starting with the Passover and then the Days of Unleavened Bread. We are rightfully called, brethren, to a time of self-reflection, self-examination. But do we let that time of self-examination and that I'll call it a necessary solemnness that entails, do we let it stay there, or do we let joy flow forth from that? See, because during this high day, they were instructed, they said, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." This not only tells them the appropriate response, it tells them the source of their joy. It's from God himself. God supplies that joy. And so, you know, where we began in Proverbs chapter 31, there's this relationship between joy and strength, right? The strength is the foundation. Joy flows from that. And so these are not two separate things. One, you know, this is cause and effect. Strength is the foundation for being able to have joy. Joy flows from God. And this is not a passing mood. This is a renewable resource, okay? The well of God's joy is not passing, and it doesn't run dry. It is an ongoing, renewable resource. It replenishes regardless of circumstances. Regardless of circumstances. Yeah, you've probably all seen the movie Singing in the Rain, right? John, with, what's his name? Grace Kelly? No. Gene Kelly. Yes, that's it. Gene Kelly. I was thinking of a different Kelly. In that, remember the song Singing in the Rain, where it's the middle of the storm and he's out there just being free and ridiculous and completely soaked? Well, that's kind of the same picture that is given to us here in Nehemiah. Godly joy doesn't wait for the storm clouds to pass, right? It is always available. It breaks out in the middle of the storm because it's based on something far bigger than the storm itself. So my question to you is, do you allow yourself moments of joy even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of trial or pain or difficulty? Do you allow yourself to tap into the joy of the Lord? Okay. Third point, third and final point, is how do we have this? Well, because we can have peace, and peace comes through Christ's victory. This is another kind of pre-Passover point here, but this one's taken from John 16, verse 33, if you want to turn there. John 16, verse 33. This was a time of great solemnity. These were among Jesus' final words to his disciples before he knew he would be betrayed and handed over to the Romans to be crucified. And we often read this pre-Passover, but I think it's worth reminding us of here, brethren, when we are meditating about this topic of strength and joy. John 16, verse 33 says, and these are the words of Christ, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world," he says. So Jesus, because in God's plan of salvation, he is the sacrificial lamb that takes away the sins of the world, he is the one who we can always go through to when we repent and when we turn to him. Forgiveness is always available. And the victory that he has granted us is always there. Notice again, this peace that he offered his disciples and through the written word offers us as well, this is not in the absence of trouble, right? This is a peace that exists because of what God the Father and Jesus Christ have already accomplished. Because if we think about it, a lot of the times our anxiety or our own weakness comes from sometimes just focusing on us, right? Where the Bible says, yes, you need a time of self-reflection. Yes, you need a time to count the cost. Yes, you need a time to think deeply about the meaning of the season that we're going into. But oftentimes, if we're not careful, we can focus on our failures, our inadequacies, and we don't focus on the strength and the victory that has already been won. You know, Jesus Christ, the story doesn't end with him dying at the crucifixion, right? He is resurrected. He is, in fact, at the Father's right hand, reigning as King and Lord, and we are under his dominion and rulership today. And we can always draw strength from God and what he has done. So my point again is that it's this inner strength that makes joy and laughter possible. So when we examine ourselves, let's not let self-examination lead to despair. Let's instead focus on what Christ has done, what God the Father has accomplished, and take heart in the fact that he has offered us genuine peace. Peace, strength, offers the door then to joy and laughter. This is what God's awesome plan makes plain for us. This should be, brethren, the pattern for our lives, even during hard seasons, even in a time of loss. This plan continues. So how can you or I, how can we possibly laugh at or have laughter or joy and or rejoicing, even in the midst of hard times, even when facing a very uncertain future? Well, it's because we have a foundation. We have a foundation that God has provided, a foundation of strength. So as we conclude, we've looked at just three scriptures on this topic. Again, this theme, living life with strength and laughter, I think is an excellent topic, and we'll have a lot of discussions coming from this. But we looked at three scriptures, Proverbs 31:25. You know, strength is your base layer. God has already provided it. Our job is to put it on. We looked at Nehemiah 8:10. Joy flows from that strength. It's a renewable resource. So don't wait for the storm clouds to pass. You know, go sing in the rain today. And then thirdly, we looked at John 16:33. Peace is possible because Jesus Christ has already overcome. And remember, the story isn't just about us. It's about what God has done. And it is a marvelous plan. So, particularly for you ladies who are here for the whole weekend, I want to invite you to put on strength. Put on strength and dignity, and let the joy that rises from that be the foundation of what God has already accomplished. And remember to take time to laugh at the days to come, not just because, and we know they're not going to be easy. They're not going to be easy, but laugh because God is faithful. Happy Sabbath.